Hello, I'm Crystal Carter, and this is SEO in 2024.
Crystal, what's your number one SEO tip for 2024?
You should be using multimedia to cut across channels in your SEO strategy.
Okay, multimedia. Let's dissect that. So multimedia first. What multimedia format are you talking about?
So I think it's you know, pretty much the things that you would think of. I'm talking about, you know, audio, video, images, making sure that you're engaging with clients and customers and users across multiple digital spaces using lots of different types of media. I think that SEOs are absolute deb hands, absolute, you know, amazing at the written word. We're fantastic at that. That's something that we've absolutely, you know, mastered as a community. However, I think that we need to be thinking about all of the different media and optimizing for all of the different media across our channels. And I think that when we do that, we're able to engage with lots more customers who are expecting to have content in lots of different ways. So video in particular, I've spoken a lot about this, but video in particular is something that users absolutely love. If you look at the stats on video, users are watching something around 84 minutes of video per day. If you spread that out to a week, that's like watching all of the Star Trek original movies in a week, every week, or watching enough of the Star Wars movies, watching all of the original Star Wars movies and enough of the prequels to remember you never liked Jar Jar Binks. So that is something that users they love video. And not only that, but if there was somebody who did a survey of it and they found that 9 out of 10 users want more videos from brands. So we're finding that this is something that YouTubers have known for years. YouTubers have been, you know, having millions and millions and millions of followers, getting millions of views every week that people absolutely love, you know, launching whole brands off of their YouTube channel and things. And I think that previously, video in particular has been out of reach because of a lot of production cost restrictions. But I think that there are channels that require less production. There are methods of creating video that are less production heavy that make video more accessible to more people and thus make the expectation for video higher from users. So users expect for somebody to be able to show them what the outfit looks like on a model. And certainly when I'm looking at for e-commerce in particular, if I'm looking for like clothing online, if they have a video, I will always watch the video of the outfit or whatever, because you can tell a lot about fabric by how it moves, which is completely different from when you're looking at fabric in a photo. It's really easy to make a photo look fantastic, but it's more difficult to fake it if in a video. And I think that's something that users really, really value. I think additionally, video in particular gives you a really good opportunity to connect with your users. Almost every streaming platform has a comment section in their videos. So when you're adding those channels into your marketing mix and adding those videos onto your website, you're creating a back and forth conversation with your users, which is something that is more difficult, more challenging to do on a website alone.
Now, I don't have the exact stats of video in mind, but I know that podcasts have increased from about 200,000 to about 2 million in the past 8 years. And I would imagine that video has increased tenfold in roughly the same period of time. So obviously there are more competitors on there as well. Sure. So what do you have to do to distinguish yourself from all the other videos out there? And is there a particular format that brands should start off with, i.e. vertical videos on TikTok rather than YouTube?
So I think that will depend on your audience. You know, we have heard it's been very, very public that TikTok is a sort of, you know, go-to place for Gen Z particularly. So if you are advertising to a younger audience, Gen Z is great, particularly for SEO. YouTube is really, really valuable for SEOs. And this is because when you are publishing on YouTube, there's a couple of interesting things about publishing on YouTube. One is every video that gets published publicly on YouTube gets indexed on YouTube. Every single one. This is why you have some videos that have like 25 views, 30 views or something. Not every page that gets published on the web gets indexed on Google, but every single video that gets published onto YouTube gets indexed on YouTube. So that's interesting to think about. So, and it also means that when you add in the description for your website, for your, when you add in the description of your video information about your web page, you're also adding a link from an index page, which is going to your web page. Similarly, when you embed that video onto your web page, one of the things that's great about that is, you know, Google's recently released over the last year or so, loads and loads of tools for SEOs to get great data and great information about video in Google Search Console. So there's video pages now, and you can see whether they're indexed, and you can see how they're working, and you can see, you know, whether it's perceived as the main video or whether it's perceived as a sort of secondary video and things like that. So you can get great stats that you can give back to your clients to show how the value that you're adding by embedding those videos. But the other thing that's important about YouTube in particular for SEOs is that there are lots of criteria for Google to index a video as a main video within Google Search Console, for instance, but a lot of them are default in YouTube. So they set the rules, and they set the rules to favor YouTube. So if you use YouTube, for instance, particularly for web-first content, for a web-first SEO sort of project, that's really going to work in your favor. So I would highly recommend that. With regards to vertical videos and things like that, those are good for connecting with customers, and they're really good for repurposing content and driving traffic to content to, again, help with indexing, help with content discovery. You can add live links into the comments for YouTube Shorts, for instance. With TikTok, you can use like a link in bio, or sorry, not with TikTok, but with Instagram, you can use like a link in bio sort of thing. But it's a really, really good place to keep your customers engaged. And I think that that's the other thing that's important about media as a tool for SEOs, is that it's sort of serves the media tends to be associated with, you know, sort of social feeds and things, which will mean that, you know, users can engage with you regularly and can be driven to your content regularly, and they know that you're there regularly, and you can sort of get that content out there regularly. But Google's also crawling them. Google's indexing tons of content from Facebook, from TikTok, from Instagram, from YouTube, from all of these different places. So it works in a couple of different ways, and I think it's important to, when you're thinking about the format, to think about what your overall objective is, whether it's to drive awareness of new content that you're creating, or, you know, to repurpose the content that you're creating to sort of demonstrate that it will appeal to a certain audience. Because sometimes the title of a blog might not necessarily tell someone whether or not it's for them, but you might be able to rephrase it on social media to show them like, oh, hey, this is something that's really useful for you, or this product is really, really useful for you, for instance. So if you're doing a repurposing sort of thing, I would say, you know, things like Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, et cetera. If you are trying to drive, trying to like push SEO, you know, and organic traffic and things like that, sort of directly from Google, I would say sort of a standard YouTube video.
Great. Okay. A lot of SEOs think of content in the lines of hero, hub, help content. I also like to call sales type content heart content. So there are obviously different types of content out there. Can video work for every type of content, or is video ideal just for maybe just help content?
I certainly engage with video in lots of different ways. What we find, if you look at customers, as I say, like 9 out of 10 customers are saying they want more video from brands. And I think that we're also seeing that, you know, there was a stat from Google that said 55% of users are looking at videos in the store when they're making the decision to buy something, when they're in the store physically, not just when they're browsing at home. You know, doing like home research, like maybe, you know, doing like late night scrolling to buy a kayak or something at 3 o'clock in the morning. Not that, but when they're actually in the store looking at the kayak, sitting, like maybe even sitting in the kayak, they're like, let me do a video. Let me check a review of this item. Because if it's a big ticket item, like you want to know, like, is it going to float? Am I going to sink in this kayak that I'm considering?
And the other 45% are looking for cheaper prices for the same product.
Right. Can I get a cheaper one nearby? Like, is there another place that also has this kayak that I can get it for? So yeah. So I think that it's important to engage with folks in a way that is accessible. I've seen folks engage with video in lots of different ways. One of my favorite TikToks is somebody who repaves. I don't even think he repaves. He reseals driveways. And there's like a special sealant that you can add to a driveway. And it's fantastic to watch. I love a before and after, I'm not going to lie. And so he shows up and he's like, look at this driveway. And I'm like, yeah, look at that thing. And then he gets out the goop and he spreads it around and he's like, oh, and it's really, it's way better now. I'm like, yeah, you really got the edges there. That's really great. I think that you, whatever tool, whatever product, whatever space you're working in, there's going to be a reason why you're working in that space. You know, there's going to be a reason why people engage with you. There's going to be a reason why you make things better for people. And that might sound grandiose saying like, oh, does it make things better? But like, my handheld vacuum cleaner literally changed my life. So I live in a two-story house and I had a vacuum cleaner with a plug and it was really annoying. Like, I really hated it. I hated it so much. So like, trying to do my stairs was a right pain in the butt. But now I have a handheld vacuum cleaner and it's the best thing ever. I can do my stairs in like 3 minutes. I can do the whole house in 20 minutes, David. It's fantastic.
So how do you get your customers to create videos like that? Does that just happen naturally or can you encourage that?
I think with regards to customers, I think that what we see, particularly with social, is that like, if you are social, they will be social. They will engage with you if you are engaging. And I think don't be shy and don't forget to engage, you know, folks in your teams. We see a lot of time where, you know, I think there was like Hobby Lobby had a thing that went viral, you know, some of their employees dancing around the shop. And I think that, you know, of course, it's important that the employees do actual like work, I guess, in the shop. But, you know, it's gone really viral. I've seen like Marks and Spencer's teams do great viral videos and things like that. But even if you're not like a sort of customer facing, like super fun, sort of like easy sort of thing, you know, there are people who are giving, you know, really good advice, really interesting advice on TikTok on like some serious topics, you know, on sort of health things or medical things or, you know, law and SEO, things like that. And so I think that, you know, take the opportunity to get in there. I think the other thing is the same thing applies with video that applies and images. I think when we're thinking about, you know, things like Instagram, like Pinterest, et cetera. And podcasts as well, is that sometimes people think, oh, well, but my vertical is really boring. You know, like we're doing, you know, some industrial, I don't know, industrial epoxy sort of thing or something like that, right? And so let's say it's something really boring. Great. Like, that's how I've always felt about SEO. Like, somebody's like, oh, I work in a really boring industry. I'm like, fantastic. That means the bar is really low. That means there's going to be some people, that means there's going to be people who are like, I wonder if there's anybody talking about this on TikTok, and everyone will find you because there's nobody else talking about it. So you can be on there. So for instance, like there's somebody else I follow online is the Bee Lady from Texas. Have you seen her? She's fantastic.
I haven't.
She's this lady and she speaks very, very calmly. And she's always like, so I took the queen out and I found the queen. And then I put her in the thing to keep her safe. Anyone listening to this podcast, watching this, who likes the Bee Lady, like, please tag me because I love her. But, you know, she's like, she's a lady who does, she's a bee. She goes around and collects bees from different places, but she just does these little videos around it and people love them. She's millions of views. So I think that it's a question of don't be afraid of it being boring, be helpful and get involved. And also it helps to have something that's a regular thing that suits what you can do. When our Wix team, for instance, we regularly do a webinar every month. We find that really, really useful. So every month we do a webinar on an SEO topic. We get SEO experts in to talk about different things. We added in a section that was around like, you know, things you can do on Wix, because we were having lots of experts talk about general SEO information. And then we'd have people in the chat going, but how do I do it on Wix? What do I do it here? Like, what do I do? And I was like, okay, all right, everybody. Okay, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. I got you. So I started doing like a little section at the end where I was like, okay, you do this and this and this and this and this, and this is how you do it on Wix. So all of these things that you've heard about, all of these great topics that you've heard from these great people, here's exactly how you can implement that here and here and here. And that is something that means, you know, again, it's a two-way conversation. So people are asking me for content. We're giving them the content. We're doing this on a regular schedule. So we schedule it well in advance. So it makes it a lot easier to manage. Similarly with our podcasts, we, you know, we are like looking at the conversations that we're having with folks around SEO when we're putting our podcast together. We're looking at some of the things that are happening regularly so that we can create podcasts that are topical. And those things are things that work for our schedules, for our resources and things like that. If you are somebody who has, you know, a fantastic venue, like I was working with someone previously and during COVID, they hadn't done videos before. But during COVID, like, videos were really, really useful because you'd be like, hey, we're open today. I know we were closed yesterday, but we're open today. And, you know, here's how you can keep safe and here's how everything's fine and that sort of thing. And I think also, sometimes with things like that, people will track them to for a sort of vibe check. So you'll go to sort of, you know, look at the images on like TripAdvisor, to you'll look at the beautiful images from the like the brand, and then you'll look at the ones that other people have taken, and you'll say, does that tiramisu look the same on my plate as it will does in the promo things? And those are really important. So I think if people are doing that, then that works well. And with regards to getting people to engage with you on those, particularly with images, Google Business Profile is a great source for this. So Google Business Profile, they actively encourage you to do reviews as a Google local guide, for instance, and they actively encourage you to add images to those reviews. When people add those images, if you're the brand, thank them, like say, hey, that's cool. I'm glad you really enjoyed that tiramisu. That's really awesome. You know, we've got some more coming out next week. Hope to see you then, like that sort of thing. So engage with those folks, because people will see, oh, they're engaging with this. They're engaging with these comments. And then they're more likely to add more videos. They're more likely to comment. They're more likely to include more content like that. And people are adding videos to Google Business Profile as well, which is particularly important for local businesses, as we know. And that is something that shows at the very top of the SERP. So if you're thinking about your SEO, like that's another great place for making sure that you're engaging with multimedia to cut across your channels.
Is AI changing your content production process?
So AI is really interesting, because AI can sometimes can be helpful. It can sometimes be a bit of a distraction as well. So I recently did a post on AI, or no, I recently did a post on like video, no, ranking and opportunity around Wimbledon. I got really into tennis recently. I'm terrible at tennis, but I just love it anyway. And the thing I find interesting about, the thing I find interesting about tennis and Wimbledon ranking and SEO is that it's anybody's game, really. Like, obviously, like you have, you know, your big star players or whatever, but on the day, it's anybody's game. So like Wimbledon in particular, I think the woman who won this year was unranked. She was unranked entirely. Yeah, exactly. And she won on the day. And how did she do that? With skill and with all of that sort of stuff. And that happens in SEO all the time, where you see smaller brands who are outranking bigger brands just because they've done it better on that particular occasion. On that particular occasion, they did better. And so I was looking for an image for this, and I tried to do an AI generated thing, and it was terrible. It took me ages. And then I went on like one of those stock photography things, and I find a perfect picture. It was perfectly fine. So I think that you have to find a balance. If you're doing lots and lots of video, there are some tools that do some great video editing. I certainly know that I know people who are using GoPro, for instance, and GoPro does like AI edits, for instance, on some of their video, which can be really, really useful. So there's some of these that are built in, and it can help you with your production costs. With regards to transcripts, AI all the way. Like transcripts are going to help you, like if you're transcribing, and I'm David, I'm sure you can probably speak more to this than I can, but with regards to transcribing, like have AI help you. AI can help you update your transcripts, edit your transcripts, make sure that they work well, translate your transcripts, things like that. And transcripts are really, really useful for adding natural language to your web page. So I recommend, if you can, adding a transcript to a page as well. So that's really, really helpful in terms of production. I've not gone into tons with regards to video production, but I have seen that there are a few tools that are available for that. And I know Synesia has some great tools around video things that will allow you to create video with an avatar speaker, for instance, which can be useful for teams that are looking to do something, but maybe to getting started and maybe don't have a presenter to hand. So I think that there are some great tools that are available. So have a think about how it might work for you, and how you can make it efficient, effective, and resonant, is that a word, with your audience. So I know that Barry Schwartz, for instance, I think he uses a lot of AI images for his posts around like Google updates and Google information and things. He didn't previously, but I'm pretty sure he does now. And they look great. They look fantastic. And that's something he uses really, really regularly. And it also means that they're more consistent with regards to his branding style. So I think that if you get good at it, then that works really well. I'm still refining my image prompt styles. I have a friend who's going to give me a little bit of a crash course, so I'm looking forward to that.
If an SEO is struggling for time, what should they stop doing right now so they can spend more time on multimedia in 2024?
You let me into this, David. So essentially, I think that if you are struggling for time and you want to actually do video,
I would say be mindful of the time you spend looking at all of the AI tools that are out there. There are so many fantastic, wonderful AI tools. At Wix, we have a number of AI tools that are great, that are built into the platform. So we have things that allow you to edit images, that allow you to create text, that allow you to do lots of that stuff. And they're all great and they're all fantastic, but don't fall into the trap of endlessly researching the AI tool. Set out with an objective to complete and try to find a tool that meets that need, and then just stick with it for a while because you need to get good at it. I think one of the things about AI that's tricky is that, you know, AI should be there to amplify your actual intelligence, right? Like not just artificial intelligence, your actual intelligence. And it's a little bit like if you had a really messy house, our really messy closet, and you got a closet organizer, you still have to put the clothes in the closet organizer, right? So you still have to actually use it. So if you don't know how to use it, then that's not really going to help you. So make sure that you're focusing on your objective, and that you're using it as a tool rather than as focus on the destination rather than the journey. Don't just fall into AI for AI's sake. If you need it to complete a task, use it to complete a task, but don't just like use AI for no reason, because sometimes you can just use regular AI. You can just use regular intelligence, and that's totally fine.
Crystal Carter is the head of SEO communications at Wix, and you can find her over at wix.com/SEO/learn. Crystal, thanks so much for being part of SEO in 2024.
Thank you so much.
I've been your host, David Bain. Get your copy of SEO in 2024, the book, over at seoin2024.com.